the great Kahan Kiefer Hawkins.
There you go. There you go. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Praise Yahweh. I tell you that there's no other place I'd rather be in the world than right here, right now. Praise Yahweh. The Sabbath days are so joyful that you know, sometimes I think at the end of the day, your face hurts from smiling so much. The title of my sermon today is, Are Not My Ways Equal? Are Not My Ways Equal? You know, the world doesn't look at Yahweh as an expert, and this is a problem that they have. You know, Yahweh makes the knowledge of this world nonsense because the wisdom of this world is not wisdom at all. But basically, we're stuck with a couple choices here. We can either choose obedience to Yahweh, or we can choose to be deceived and go into deception in this world. And that choice is given to each and every one of us. But the most important lesson for mankind to learn is that we should trust and obey every instruction that Yahweh gives us, that we must not change or alter any of the perfect things that Yahweh has created. You know, that we have to learn that lesson. And also that anything outside of the strict teachings of righteousness as taught by the house of Yahweh can lead to darkness. And I want to go over that word real quick, if you turn to Genesis 1, because there's a lot contained in that one word, darkness. In Genesis 1, in verse 2, we see it, but I want to go to the side note just to rehearse what this word is, because it's easier to say this one word than to have to go over all these meanings all the time. But it says, meaning to be led astray because of false doctrine. And then also, we see what that causes enclosed in the same word, that it brings misery, death, destruction, ignorance, wickedness, and sorrow. You know, the deception is so thick in this world that we really have to examine what we accept as the truth. False doctrine is deception. Deception causes disobedience. And Revelation 12:9 states that Satan deceives the whole world. So we have to constantly be on guard of this. Now, remember, we can deceive ourselves also. Turn to Jacob 1 real quick. Jacob 1. I'll get you a page number here in a second. That would be on 953. But let's look at verse 14. Where it says, but each one of us is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Well, this is how it takes place. Look at 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. Now let's look to verse 22. But be doers of the law. That's the instruction. Be doers of the law and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So it's this obedience that we're striving for and disobedience that we need to be on guard for. Yahweh gives us perfect protection in these last days. If you turn to page the book of Matthew 24. I think everybody should know where that is. But Yahweh gives us the perfect instruction on how not to be deceived. And all we have to do is consider these things and think about them. I had my pages on the wrong side here. Matthew 24, let's look at verse 4. Yeshua answered and said to them, be on guard that no man deceives you. Okay, now why? Let's look up to verse 11. Many false prophets will rise and will deceive the many. So we have to believe that. You know, Yeshua said that we're a fool if we don't believe these words. But then let's look to verse 24, because that's where we see our protection. And we have to believe this. We have to trust this just like we trust any other scripture. You know, I don't see too many people that don't believe that pork is harmful to the body. You know, that we seem to be able to trust and believe that scripture, but we need to trust this scripture just as equally as much, because this is very important to our salvation. He says, for there will arise false messiahs, false prophets, and will show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if, there's the big word, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But what Yahweh is showing you here is that that's not possible. And we have to believe that. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. We have to believe that. You know, Yahweh has gone through extremes to show us that we can believe and trust in Him. He clearly shows where His work will be, gives the names. You know, let's rehearse a little bit of that. Let's go to Isaiah. You know, if I could give, you know, one instruction, I think everybody should read the book of Isaiah monthly. You know, because the whole book is you know, detailing this work. And the details that Yahweh gives are beyond any shadow of like, oh, well, that's, you know, possibly circumstantial. You know, let's look at some of this. In Isaiah 44, look at verse 5. Okay, and this is, of course, describing the workers that Yahweh has set up to do this work in these last days. One will say, I belong to Yahweh, and the same will call himself, notice he'll call himself with the name of Yaakov. And we've gone over this, but that word call, it's a primitive root from 71:21, but through the idea of accosting a person, to call out, to address by name, to preach, publish, pronounce, it's from 71:22, and it means to encounter in a hostile manner. Okay, and why is this important? Because this is exactly, not vaguely, not, you know, kind of what took place. It's exactly what took place. This is exactly how he got his name. He called himself under duress. Remember the situation. Remember the story that was told of how JG became Jacob. And why that name? You know, why off the top of his head, you know, we'll just call me Jacob. Well, as we'll see, Yahweh knew what he was doing. Of course, Yahweh knew what he was doing. But look at the next one. Now, the other will subscribe with his hand. Well, that word subscribe, you know, we know that I don't want to cover that definition yet. But with his hand and write, I belong to Yahweh, and surname himself. The word surname is what I would like to look at there, because it means to address by an additional name. So this wasn't his name at this time, but this is an additional name. And Funk and Wagnall's New Standard Bible Dictionary, page 604, shows that in later life, it was also possible for a person to receive a name, sometimes called a surname, which was used alongside of his supplanted original name. In all or necessary, all such cases, the new name was imposed by a superior or due to a change of status. So again, you have two situations in this one scripture here that took place exactly the way that Yahweh said that it would take place. And not only did they take place, but the names are accurate there. Okay, so I'm building up proof here. Go to 45 and then verse 4, right on the next page. And he says, for Yaakov my servant's sake, and Yisrael my chosen, and I call you by your name. So this is Yahweh who called these men by their name, Yaakov, and I surname you Israel, once again showing how this would be done. Though you didn't recognize that it was me. Yahweh was in control the whole time, carefully, faithfully carrying out his plan. And this was done, you know, through meticulous detail. Look at Isaiah 49. Just a page over here. You know, because it's important that a name, you know, it's not just something to try to keep tabs on somebody. It's not just a name is actually an authority. It's not just a word in which one is identified. A name represents an authority. And this is Yahweh that named our overseer, Yisrael. But look, let's look at Isaiah 49, 1 through 3, where he says, listen, O isles of countries, listen to me. peoples from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. He has made mention of my name. Okay, so again, why does Yahweh put such emphasis on this? From the bowels of my mother. So it would have had to have been from a sibling there, from his older brother, which we know, Vernon, who was 1 year old. Yes, he was 1 year old. I don't care what your tombstone says. He was 1 year old. You know, I don't seek the dead on behalf of the living, you know. This information comes from Yahweh. I trust Yahweh. I'm not going to go to a graveyard to find my doctrine, you know. But from the bowels of my mother, he has made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. And if you've ever, you know, heard our overseer speak, you know all these things are so detailed, how Yahweh's brought this to pass. But look also in verse 3, and he said to me, "You are my servant, O Israel, through whom I will be glorified." So, and I take this back to Matthew 24. Don't turn there, but remember that scripture that Yahweh says, this man, this elect, cannot, will not be deceived. It's not possible. Okay, and we need to trust that. You know, we ought to be able to look at these scriptures and build a trust. Yahweh, there's no man that could put this together. It's not like somebody manipulated the scriptures to say this. There's no way. There's no possible way that a person could have done this. Now let's look also at Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 20. Because this is also important to understand. Verse 20, it says, so they may see and know and consider. All these things that Yahweh's done for the purpose so that we may see and we may know and we may consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh has done this. Yahweh has done this himself, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. And then he says to those who think otherwise, well, present your cause. Says Yahweh, bring forth your strong reasons. You notice that right when somebody has a gripe against the house of Yahweh, they never like the spotlight turned back on them. You know, they come up with this, that, or the other. But if you say, what is your method for salvation then? You know, if you're so smart, if you have the answers, you tell me, what do I need to do? Well, I don't know that. let's change the topic here. Yahweh has been working with this house to an incredible degree, and it brings me to this latest prophetic word. And I wanted to bring something. I didn't. This is the prophetic word, this December edition. I wasn't going to bring this, but at about 3 o'clock in the morning last night, I couldn't sleep because I kept thinking about this. And this prophetic word, if you look at the opening page, it starts to talk about the signs and the clouds. And what I want to share is an experience that I had after the Feast of Passover last year. You know, because during the feast, I remember that the cloud cover, if you remember that feast, was I've never seen anything quite like that. And there was many things sighted. There was many things that people had seen. And, working in a kitchen, you don't get to get out very often and look up. So I gave one of the young men that assists me sometimes, I gave him my digital camera, and I told him, you know, go take pictures of the sky when you get a spare moment. And he did. He was very faithful, took about 150 pictures. I looked them all over, and I didn't see anything that was recognizable to me, but I was glad that he followed the instructions, you know. The young men in the house of Yahweh are awesome. They really are. You know, brethren, it's such a joy to work with everybody. You know, the house of Yahweh, you could see the solution to all mankind's problems being practiced here every Sabbath, you know, through servitude, through obedience, and through finding joy. Finding joy in being a part of this work. But to get on with my my story here. What ended up taking place after the feast, I broke everything down, and I didn't leave that next day, but I left the day after, and I had to drive about 4.5 hours out to East Texas. And, you know, when I left Clyde, I looked on the side as I was driving on Interstate 20, this would have been to my south, and there was a cloud that, you know, looked like a bunch of cotton balls, if you've seen clouds that are kind of shaped like that. And it was dark, but it was strange to me because the formation of the cloud, the darkness of it, and it was so isolated. There was no rain underneath it or anything like that. It was just a kind of a peculiar looking cloud. And I got to noticing it more and more that this cloud stayed with me from Clyde to 4.5 hours later where I was driving to. And what was strange, at one time I got on the east side of Dallas, and it was, you know, I wasn't, you know, driving, looking up. It was within sight. And it stretched from one side to the other. And at the bottom, there was a very neat looking verse 4, like you would see a chapter in the book of Yahweh 4:4. And what got me, what caught my eye was just how perfect it was. It would look like it had been typeset. And I said, man, that's great penmanship, you know. but I didn't really think much of it, other than, you know, it reminded me of the scripture in Matithia 4:4 that man does not live off of bread alone, but by the every word of Yahweh. And I thought, well, that's great. You know, that's a great thing to have in my mind as I go to work. Well, the next morning I woke up and I got to work before it was still dark. And I saw that cloud again as the sun came up. It was where I was working. I said, well, that's really odd now, because it's not like a cloud that you typically see. It's an odd formation. And then the next day again. And so I've decided I would maybe look into this a little bit more. So I cracked the book of Yahweh and said, well, what other scriptures are 4:4, you know? And I started in Genesis. Please turn there. Genesis 4. And you'll see why I bring this up, because, I mean, this has been a long time just in the back of my mind. I didn't understand anything about it. But in Genesis 4:4, we see that and Abel, besides bringing the offering of the fruit of the ground, also brought a sacrifice to the firstling of his flock and their fat, and Yahweh honored Abel and his offering. And I thought, wow, now that makes sense. I just left the feast, and after I read that, the next day the cloud was gone. It quit coming around. So I thought, well, for sure, I think I found something there. But it wasn't until this prophetic word this month, I got to reading it, and I want to show on page 16 here. Under this title here of August 25th, 2011, Signs in the Clouds. Okay, I just want to read you this. It says, in the past history of each of Yahweh's works, he backed with signs that only he could or would do, thus proving that his work and his message being taught by his chosen, his sent prophets. That's the pattern he used. And he worked signs with Abel, and showing that Abel's work was acceptable. And he uses this scripture, Genesis 4 and verse 4, to show this. And I like I said, when I saw it, I was like, it didn't, you know, fully make sense to me until I realized Yahweh is constantly uplifting his house and uplifting his servant Israel. You know, we've got to get that. We've got to get that. Okay. I had a letter. Also, I was reading this. I had a letter on the wall from the great Kohan Yedidia. And I looked at this at about the same time, and I thought, this goes with it. I just want to read you something that the great Kohan Yedidia said in this letter. He said, one thing that you can always trust, and that is the house of Yahweh. He says, remember, this is Yahweh's house. Yahweh has anointed his servant Israel to be the last strict righteous teacher in these last days, to lead this work to perfection under our high priest, Yeshua Messiah. We have these laws and prophets to trust, and if we will with all our hearts, we will be a part of this wonderful kingdom forever. So I said, I couldn't say it any better than the great Kohanya Didion. So carrying on, you know, it's real important that we have that straight in our minds, because if we don't, we can become deceived. Look at Genesis. While we're in Genesis, let's look at 3 and verse 1 and start to see another work taking place here. Remember, Pastor said these works are going side by side. Genesis 3 and verse 1. Catch these words. Make sure that you remember these always, that the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any other beast which was in the field. Subtle, crafty. Now, the only way to guarantee that something is true, if you ever want to know, is this true or is it not true? The only way that you're going to be able to guarantee that something is true, it has to come from the pillar and ground of the truth. This is where truth is. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. As we see another example of these two works going on side by side. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. And remember, this is the song of Moshe. He says, he is a rock, his ways are perfect. Yahweh's ways are justice. It's not the world's way. The world doesn't know anything about justice. Yahweh's ways are justice indeed. He is the father of truth. Okay? So truth comes from Yahweh. He does no wrong, and upright and just is he. Now, Yochanan 8:44 tells us that Satan is a liar and the teacher of all lies. So Yahweh is the father of truth. Satan is a teacher of lies. Now, it's important to understand that word upright, because, you know, there's many things that go into that word upright, but there's many things that Yahweh gives us in the scripture to point out this upright character. If you remember, Pastor gave us a sermon one time, and he talked about the sign of the cross, and he said, this is the tree of life being crossed out. Does everybody remember that? Okay, so what he was pointing at was the tree of life being straight up and down, upright. Now, if you want to determine upright, and if you go to your tool bag and you're looking for something that's going to tell you upright, let's turn to Zechariah 4 on 718, on page 718. So how do we learn to be upright? Who in the world is going to teach us how to be upright? Let's look at Zechariah 4. In verse 10, he said, for who has despised the day of small things, they will rejoice to see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. That Zerubbabel, that is the one opposing Babylon. Yisrael Hawkins is the only one opposing Babylon with the help of the house of Yahweh, all of us that try to help out in this work. But this is the only work that truly opposes Babylon. You can't be half Babylon and half opposing Babylon. That is Babylon. That's confusion. You know, but look, this plummet, the plummet shows you how to be upright. That's what a plummet does. Now the Masons, as we've learned a lot of things about them in times past, but they have their own symbolism and things that they refer to, and one of which is the level. This is one of their great symbols in the Masonic order, is the level. Well, and they have a reason for this. This is from their website. They said the level, first off, they refer back to star worship. They say this is the diminutive form of the Libra. The Libra has the scales. Okay, so the level is on, this is from their website. It says the level is that which there are no inequalities. That sounds nice. We meet on the level because Masonic rights, duties, and privileges are the same for all members without distinction. And then they go to quoting the Declaration of Independence, where it said that all men are created equal. And we know that there were several Masons that helped write that Declaration of Independence. And of course, that's very misleading, you know, because all men are created equal. Yes, all white men are created equal is what they meant there. And of course, poor white men are not created equal. You know, you have to be a rich white man to be created equal in their eyes, you know. This is very far from the truth, this equality, but it's been the gripe from the beginning. that we want to be equal. If you remember those who opposed Moshe saying that everybody's holy. You know, we're all equally holy here, Moshe. Let's look at their teacher, maybe give you the best example in Isaiah 14. And let's look at verses 12. He says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Hillel, the child of light, you are cut down, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend above heavens, and I will raise my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will sit in the highest place of the holy mountain of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights, and I will be like the Most High." I will be equal with the Most High. No, she most certainly was not. She never will be equal. You know, a lot of them, they want to be in charge of something, but they don't want to do the things to help others that is required of somebody who is in a position of authority. You know, being in a position of authority is not just bossing people around, but it's meeting the needs of those. You have authority because somebody's counting on you. You know, so a true leader meets those needs and is concerned with those needs and doesn't get caught up with his own lusts that interfere with meeting the needs of the people. But that's exactly what they did. Now, also on that word level, the ancient Romans, this is from a book called the Libra Constellation. It said, the ancient Romans believed that the city of Rome was founded when the moon of Libra was in the moon of Libra, calling it Jugum, which means balance. Now, this word balance also means level. But they associated Libra with Virgo, who was represented by Astia, the goddess of justice. So this is their form of justice. This is what they've always been trying to preach, is that they have this form of justice that is equal, but it's not. You know, if you turn to page 705 in the book of Yahweh, in the great prophet Micaiah, 705, okay, Micaiah 3, verse 9, where he says, "Hear, O heads of the house of Jacob, your rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity." This is what they really do. Let's look at verse 5. This is what Yahweh says concerning the prophets who cause my people to err. Remember, they err not knowing the scriptures. So these prophets of the world have caused the people to not know these scriptures, unlike our overseer who has taught us diligently these scriptures. Okay, they proclaim peace to those who give them something to chew on, who prepare war against those who put nothing in their mouths. Okay, so you see Yahweh identifies their motivation there, and it's not justice, it's finances. They serve for profit. They're easily bought. And one of the big differences between the kingdom of Yahweh and the city that sits on seven hills. But if you ever want to, a short way to remember, I know a lot of people don't know the difference between plumb and level. If you can remember, this is your plumb line going straight up and down. It would be the Mason's level line that's always trying to cross it out. But we're not going to let them do it. At this time, if y'all please stand. I do have the great privilege to pass the services over to the great Kohan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. As the great Kohan was speaking, he mentioned the great Kohan Yedidier, and it reminded me we had just visited him last week. And we were going to visit him the week before, but the whole prison was shut down because of some kind of an illness. I think they said gastroenteritis or something, but we went in to visit him last week because we had to skip that one week. And he told us that he has a group of men there that are definitely being called out in the prison itself. I mean, and I did get an opportunity to meet with one of them. And what they had to do, I think it was the federal health department. It might have been the state health department, but they had to come in there. And because the men that are listening to the great Kohan Yedidier and following and reading our books were not sick, they were the only ones, and they had to separate them. They had to actually move them to another part of this prison because they didn't want them to get sick too. And then the illness finally passed, the prison reopened, and they put them back where they belong. But they should have, well, not where they belong, they don't belong in there at all. But they should have, they should be noticing, I think they're noticing these things. It just seemed to me that the guards are getting more and more friendly to us, almost like they're our friends. And even the guards there are not really responsible for what's going on. But it was one of the things, I did get an opportunity to meet one of these men. And what he told me, it was actually quite inspiring. He said, I always wonder, are these people really being called? And he said to me, he said, all I used to think about was how to get out. I mean, not how to get out, but when am I going to get out? And counting the days. And he said, now all I can think about is this material and how to bring my life into conformance with these laws. And you could see it in his eyes. He was really being called. Now, we have a lot of prophecy being fulfilled on the other side, which is the dark side, which is teaching really war and hatred. And we've got a big strike in Los Angeles that's holding up $1 billion worth of commerce every day, affecting 900,000 jobs and really more than that. And then we have a bombing in Syria where they're trying to, in actually a relatively peaceful part of Syria, they're trying to cause the religions there to fight one another. They even state that in this news article. And then we've got the protest against Morsi in Egypt, which is, you know, just what they're trying to do in Syria. They did this in Egypt, and this is the result of it, but they're still trying to do it in Syria, overthrow this person that they insist on calling a dictator. And then the UN vote to grant Palestine non-member state observer status. That's a big story. And then you'll see Netanyahu's remarks on that, because he's not pleased with that. And then we have a story on global warming, which shows that they're observing it and the actual effects of it. So, and of course, they still don't realize the actual cause. Some of them do, but not on this news story. So let's play the news. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Shalom, everyone! Shalom, everyone! You're looking great. Yahweh is well pleased. Okay. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I've got a lot that I want to cover. I think it's probably going to take a few weeks, but we are going to get it done. The news that we're getting, of course, is it's a matter of trying to get the world to believe. And the great sermon that the great Kohan Kiefer Reynolds gave, that was really fantastic. We've got to praise Yahweh. I know that the war is held back. I know that it won't be long before it's going to be turned loose. But I can see the house has improved a lot since the nuclear baby. If you don't have the nuclear baby, you really should get it, because it's part of believing what is going to take place. That there's news articles that come with this, because there's dates that was given in the Holy Scriptures when the war would actually start, and it did start. We have the news articles that comes with this book that actually shows the war, how it started, and then how Yahweh used one general to stop the war single-handed, news media said. But the people, when we say, well, the world war is going to start, and they think, well, this is going to be over with tomorrow. You know? And of course, they think they're right and proper, so they need no overcoming. What we've got to try to get everyone to understand is that Yahweh has a place for them, but they've got to prepare for that place. You know, they got to prepare themselves for that place. Get the kinks out, the spots, the wrinkles out. And of course, getting them to believe. The world doesn't believe anything. You know, they just go from day to day pushing their buttons and just play it by ear, so to speak, and each day takes care of itself and want to live life to the fullest every moment. And of course, they never find out what real joy is. Never. The world never gets close to the real joy and even peace. We see plans being made, laws being passed, and the next year or so they're trying to get rid of them and trying to pass new laws to take care of it. We've been working with some of the things that have to do with feeding people. And of course, we see what took place a few years ago. They started seeing the mistakes they made in food and milk products, things like this. So they started encouraging, our government started encouraging the people to go organic. Just encouraging them without education, you know, and what they're going to face, they have gone broke and started selling their dairies now. So it's a bad thing. Education is needed in every field. And, of course, the peaceful solution is needed right now to get everyone ready for the future, for Yahweh's work. That's the thing that will get you ready. That's what we need to get in the countries. I had a letter here. Maybe this is it. This comes from people that also that are in high positions, and they're seeing that the peaceful solution is what is needed in every country now. And praise Yahweh. Now they're working to do this. Of course, Satan is out to stop them. She doesn't want to see the peaceful solution go through, but it's going through in spite of everything, that every trick she pulls, you know. And she's like the fox with the bag of tricks and well acquainted with every one of them. You saw from the great Kohan's sermon here a while ago, Satan really attacked this scripture where Yahweh showed that he named me, but Yahweh did this in a way that it couldn't be denied. And of course, Satan tried to attack it and told all kinds of lies about this, you know. I still, you know, it was second thought to me, all of this. I didn't realize how important it was until Satan started attacking it like she did, and using the fallaways to tell lies about it and make out like, you know, it wasn't true. And of course, I still didn't think anything about it. I'm in a rut. I'm on a grind to get everything written and told. So I keep pushing everything aside, you know, and I say, well, they're doing this and this. And I say, okay. I think nothing about it. Well, they're waiting at the gate with a gun to shoot you. Okay, well, that'll be all right. I got my mind on something else right now. That's the way Yahweh made me. Finally, after all of this hullabaloo that came about and all the lies they're telling, I said, this must be important some way. You know, when Luetta came up here that day, it was like she was on a mission. She didn't do this. She didn't do any traveling. She had no business to come see me. But her husband was dead, and of course she had her sons and family in Odessa. But she came by herself, and it was like she was on a mission to get something done. And when the group of women went over and visited with her in that house, I went with them, and I sat close to her. She turned and looked at me, and she said, "Did you get the letter?" This was the first words out of her mouth. "Did you get the letter that Jacob sent you about changing your name?" And I said, "Yes, I got that. Somebody else has it now because there was a divorce and all my stuff went missing." But I said, "Yes, I got it." And she said, "Well, we were wondering why you changed your name or wanted to change your name because your one-year-old brother named you." And I said, "Yeah, and I know that was the talk of my family all of my life." And she said, "You do realize, Bill," she said, "you do realize, Bill," she wasn't letting me change my name, see, but she said, "You do realize, Bill, that your brother was only 1 year old." And I said, yeah, well, I had my mind on something else, see, but it's like Yahweh has to hit me with a brick or something to get me to wake up. Well, later, months later, I was thinking off and on about what she had said, and I said, "You know, this has got to be important." I got to looking at the scriptures, and I said, "Oh, yeah, 1 year olds can't talk, can they?" Ask the 1 year old. Ask the 1 year old, if you had a brother, what would you name it? This is what you'd get. Blah, 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 blah. Ask the 2 year old, you'll get the same thing. Now, I don't know how high you'll have to go, but we're going to do it. But you don't get that from little children. Somebody spoke through this boy's mouth, and that's what Yahweh shows in the scripture. It was a miracle that what took place here. It made me think of the scripture after it finally dawned on me and I started putting it all together. It made me think of the scripture where Yahweh spoke through a donkey and corrected a king. Yeah, mouth of a donkey. Well, Yahweh did the same thing when he named me. And then he says in another scripture, he said, "I'm the one that named you, Israel. Hey, wake up. I'm the one that named you. And you didn't know it was me that named you, but I'm the one that named you." Well, I finally woke up to it. But anyway, my mind is still on this other. We've got to get the peaceful solution, character education out. And of course, I'm glad we got a team pushing the other because I don't have time. But we've got to get this peaceful solution out to the world. It's needed, but what is needed most of all is that it be tried and tested and proven. Now, we've proven it in I don't know how many places, the prisons, the schools, the family life. We've proven it. It works in every field. Every field we've put it in where they actually put it to use in their family, it works. And yes, it works so well that the prison wardens who actually give this a fair try, the sheriff's departments and so forth, even the DAs in certain cases, are pushing it to get everyone who commits a crime to take the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Now, there's always our enemies around saying, "Oh, get rid of them. They don't sell condoms. They got to be crazy. Just get them out. Don't pay attention to them. You know, they're not in the condom business. We got to push these condoms in order to stop this." Well, they're really stopping it, aren't they? They haven't even got sense enough to stop eating pork, let alone condoms. But this is the satanic ways that Satan comes against us. I noticed the ones that here in Abilene that didn't want us having the peaceful solution in their life, they closed up and went somewhere else. And that was Yahweh's doing, I think. But anyway, this is a letter, I can't tell you who from, but it's from a high official, and it says, you guys are doing it right. You're doing a great job. It says, we have been looking for this. We have been looking for this, talking about the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, to send and be on the air and on TV like in Egypt and Libya. They need this on TV programs at least 7 days a week. I talked to some TV channels, so they're working with them, with behind the scenes, of course, and they agreed we can do this in different war countries. Well, see, praise always. This is what I was telling the priest here recently. I said, it seems like, well, I'm just, you know, we're just spinning our wheels. I can't seem to get what I want done, see, because I'm wanting to prove this will stop war, and it will. This program, when used, will actually stop war. Well, someone has got to lay down their weapons and say, we're going to refuse to fight anymore. Now, when you do this, and you will turn to Yahweh fully, as Samuel, as the great prophet Samuel showed, if you will read the chapters, 1 Samuel 7 and 8, you will see that if you will turn to Yahweh fully, Yahweh will protect you. You won't need war weapons. You can burn them, throw them away, beat them into plowshares and pruning hooks. Well, this is what's going to take place. Well, I can see now that higher up people who have heard this and read it, now they're going to work and they have some worldly political power. And so you will see things now start taking place. Praise Yahweh. You're going to see it. If you look, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, and I'm going to run out of time. So what I want to do is show you Genesis 1, if you'll turn there. Genesis 1. Now, here is what Yahweh says that he's going to do. Now, I'll put that another way, and I'll prove it to you later, but here he says what you're going to do. Because you're the ones that's going to fulfill this in this time period we're in, a time period when it's impossible to stop war because of the trillions of dollars that's made. Yes, it's for money. War is made for money, to bring in gobs of money. That's what Bawa Jane, the gate opener at the UN years ago, when we were invited to speak there at the first peace conference, religious peace conference, and he's the door opener, that's what his name means, but he told me, when I was telling him what I'm going to do, what Yahweh is going to do, what the house of Yahweh is going to do. Now, this is the way I put it to him. I said, I'm not working alone. I said, my plans are to stop war over the whole earth. And he listened quietly, and I spilled out my speech to him, showed him everything, and he said, you'll never get it done for one reason. He said, right now, war machinery is an $850 billion a year business. So there's no way you can stop it. Well, now it's up in the trillions of dollars, as you can see. And if they weren't making big money, and if some big pockets weren't being crammed full of it, they would turn from it. It's like Christmas. Christmas is no longer being accepted. Now there's 45% of the people saying this is a burden. It's not fun at all anymore. Well, see, the people who are getting the money from Christmas, they don't want it to stop. They want to see it grow and grow, and of course, the people overspend. Well, that's what the articles you're seeing now is coming out and saying, you know, that all I've done in the past years is overspend, and I buy Christmas presents for everyone. Now, here's what they're saying. They're saying, maybe I'll buy a present for my children, but do I have to give it to everyone I know? Well, you give it to everyone you know, he says, because they're obligated to give you one. So I hurt inside because when I receive a present from someone, I know that person in advance, he's already told me, I'm buying you a present. Why did he tell you that? Well, the psychologist will tell you that he expects something from you. So he says, I'm obligated to buy all of these people presents now. And here I am on a fixed salary. I've got this credit card that's shot. It's down to the limit. Now I can get another credit card and pay off this credit card. Then I can go spend a bunch of money. But how am I going to pay it back? I'll give up my house payments. That's what I'll do. I'll give up my house payments. So where am I going to move to? I'll move in with Daddy and Mother or somebody. Well, of course, this is what's going through their mind because of this evil thing they call Christmas. What's going through the people's minds when they hear me saying we're going to beat these war machinery into plowshares and pruning hooks? Well, they're thinking, if this occurred, this trillions of dollars worth of business is going to go down the hill. Who will buy our goods anymore? That's what Revelation 18 says. When it goes down, it's going to go down. Yeah. Well, see, you are being trained for that job. And when we present this to people, you know, they think, oh, I'm going to go to heaven right away. Well, that's as deep in the scriptures as they ever get. That's what Christianity is, you know. It's just, you know, you're zapped. Yeah, you said you believe, so you're zapped. Boy, you're on the way to heaven. You know, you're on the first boxcar going in. And so you got everything made. Just believe. Keep bringing me your money, but believe. Okay, that's all you got to do is believe. That's all I got to do. Well, you got to keep bringing me the money. Don't forget that. Well, that's the Christmas business. That's the church business, you know. Keep bringing me the money, but just believe. Yeah, you got to do something besides believe. Yeah, I guess so. Number one, that's the number one thing. Believe second, but bring me the money first. Well, that's the business. That's the pocket. That's the pockets being filled with business. That's Christmas. That's nuclear war. Well, Yahweh says he's different. And he gave you a Savior. And the Savior said, if they slap you on one side, turn the other cheek. Now, this man did this. It was no joke with this man. And he knew that he was going to suffer greatly at the people who wanted him to kill all their enemies. And they told him, Satan says, you're a leader. You're a great leader. And they bragged him up to no end. They took him high, lifted him high up and said, look at all of this. You can have it all. All you've got to do is kill our enemies, lead the battles, tell them what to do. Be another warrior, a great Alexander the Great. Be one of them and kill all of our enemies in the world. Wipe them out. Well, of course, if you know anything about history, that's impossible. Because what is in the bloodline? What's in the DNA? Now, you got to understand this. What's in their DNA is war. It came from Cain, and it came down to you. Fighting and hatred, lust, and continual retaliation, continual war. That's what comes down to you. I've got something here that shows that that is understood now. And if I can find it, I know I marked it. Here it is. Ha ha! Praise Yahweh. Now, I've told you where the so-called American Indians came from. You're well up on this and the history of our people, the people that Yahweh brought here to hide his work among, and of course to bring it to where it is today. Because first of all, he had to have someone like Yahshua who would have his mind set on the gold and not let troubles get it off or alter it, but trust in Yahweh and say, I can only do this. I can't fight Satan, and I'm not going to. I'm going to go ahead and do exactly what you told me here in the laws and the prophecies. Well, that's what Yahshua did. Well, you saw what occurred to him. I couldn't have done what Yahshua did. There's no way. If you study what this man went through and the misery that this man went through, and then the last minute hatred and beatings that took place, the torture chamber that he went through that night with the words coming at him all the time, you can stop this anytime you want to, just tell us you'll eat pork, or whatever it was their tricks were at the time. They used those tricks. They put them on a stretching wheel. And many of our ancestors, that's the reason they ran, crossed the Arctic Circle and came here to America, many of them. But they'd put them on a stretching wheel and they'd say, all you've got to do is tell us you'll eat this Christmas ham. And we will let this wheel go and turn you loose. And they're screaming, their faces are torn up. Well, this man was going through the same thing. We take it lightly what he went through, but if you just read the things that they whipped him with, the things they did to this man that night, then, but he never turned. Praise Yahweh. Well, now there's some Science Daily coming out about the Native Americans. What you've known for years, they're now finding out. It says, Native Americans and Northern Europeans more closely related than previously thought. They're seeing what we know and have known for years. And I'm going to skip that but what I do want you to get out of this article here, the editor-in-chief of the Journal of Genetics wrote this, and you could get that book if you want to. It's a boring study. It was for me. Some people get excited about it. But nothing excites me but the scriptures and the prophecy. So I quit studying genetics, but I did study it a lot at one time. But this book on genetics, it's boring, and if you got if you had the time for it, you know, that's fine. But right here is what I got out of this one. One of these ancestral populations was the first farming population of Europe. I'll have to go back a little further. To make this discovery, Patterson worked with Harvard Medical School professor of genetics, David Reich, and other colleagues to study DNA diversity, and found that one of these ancestral populations was the first farming population of Europe. Now, what this was, these people were farmers. Well, it's in their DNA. And they found it here. So they were able to compare actually what the people were doing in America to the very people where they came from in Europe, because it was in their DNA. They put it there, like you're putting righteousness, peace, joy, love. You're putting all of those things in your DNA now. The same thing that our ancestors way back there now in Noah's day, Abraham's day, what they put in their DNA that came down to bringing forth a true Savior. Well, here they have finally discovered this. In relatively unmixed, remember that word, because I already had it in my sermon when this was actually given to me this morning. So there's still somebody up there that's supplying me. And speaking through me to you, and I hope you hear and believe, but he says, in this DNA, in relatively unmixed form, in Sardinians and the people of the Bosque County, and in at least the Dross population in the Middle East. Now, all of this is found in the DNA, and this comes from that editor-in-chief of the Journal of Genetics. This relationship between humans separated by the Atlantic Ocean reveals surprising features of the migration patterns of our ancestors and reinforces the truth that all humans are closely related. How about that? Beautiful. Now that on the one hand is a success. That's a step forward in their work right there. A step backwards is, of course, guess what kills one person every 19 minutes? Prescription drugs. The thousands and thousands of people that are dying because they're taking a prescription drug as the doctor prescribed and as he ordered and said, you need this drug, one every 19 minutes is being slaughtered by it. So you can see the mixture now of righteousness and evil. And of course, as Revelation 17 shows, they won't repent. I mean, Revelation 9, they won't repent of this pharmacy called witchcraft in Revelations, called witchcraft. Well, now here in Genesis 1, 26, we see what Yahweh says. Yahweh said, I will make man in my image according to my likeness, and they will have rulership. He's going to give us rulership. If you turn over to Revelation 19 now, you will see when that takes place. No, it hadn't took place yet. In fact, Yahweh said to our king, our high priest and king, sit at my right hand till I get this done. And then he said, behold, the man whose name is the branch, because that group is going to do it. Now, it's very hard to get a worldly person to believe anything that's going to take place tomorrow. And you start saying you're a fool if you don't believe the prophecies. But they'd rather stay a fool and stay in their ignorance than to study and show themselves approved to Yahweh. And that's the thing that we've got to do, is study and show ourselves approved. Approved by believing all that he has spoken depending on Yahweh. I've heard this preached a lot, you know. You know, throw all your cares on that guy that carries the name of a God. I mean, this was one of their favorite sayings. Don't worry about anything. Just bring us your money and believe. And bring us the money first before you come here. Well, here now, Revelations 19. If you look at verse 4, you see the fulfillment of what he is saying in Genesis 1:26. And the elders, all the elders, as I told you that this means, actually the word is score here, and it can mean any group of numbers, but it's totally uncertain how many elders there would be there. If it was four score, then it would be 80 elders, but I would suspect it would be a lot more than this very soon. But he says the elders and the four, the quartet, both fall down and worship Yahweh, who sit on the throne. Well, it's like they all bow. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being taught at the feet of the prophets. Remember, Yahweh appeared to Abraham and so forth. And Yahweh taught Abraham. Well, you know who it was that taught Abraham. But you go back to verse 1, and after these things, I heard a great voice as the voice of a mighty people in heaven. Now, this is not actually in the heavens. It's a voice like you would hear it coming from heaven, or you would know or understand this is the prophecy being filled, the order that came from heaven, that is being filled right now here on earth. We're in the early stages of it, of course. The voice of many people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Well, what do we say here? Hallelujah, praise Yahweh. That's what it means. We say it over and over. We have signs everywhere saying this. And the quartet are going to be saying it with us here if you read verse 4. Saying hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto Yahweh our Father. It takes a long time and much teaching to actually get this across, that this is all one plan. Salvation, yes, it goes along with obedience. Obedience to preparing for a job that he has for you to do. Not just for a few minutes, but throughout all eternity. This job that we're training for now, and the more you train for it, the better you'll be qualified to do it, and the more you'll prove to Yahweh that you are willing to do it and not let anything stop you. For true and righteous are your judgments. Now, the world doesn't believe that. How long does it take you to actually believe that Yahweh's judgments that you find in his 613 laws are true and correct? It takes a long time, brethren, and a lot of study. We've brought out things here, and the person will say, like I said, you know, that this man who was accused of molesting, he got an unfair trial. And I don't know what the letters we got off of that saying, you know, I couldn't understand what you were talking about until I read the article. And now I understand what you're talking about. This man is not guilty, any more guilty than the judge that sentenced him, any more guilty than the jury that found him guilty. They all carry the same thing that caused this sodomy to begin with. No, there won't be any sodomites in the kingdom. Yahweh plainly shows that. But you can repent and you can overcome such a thing. That is shown too. Anyone can repent of anything and they can turn. They can start building the DNA to righteousness, just like these people who were farmers all their life. They got it in their DNA. It's a pattern. It shows there. Now, they could turn and go to something else and start replacing the farming in their DNA to something else in their DNA. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And this is something else now. To believe what's causing the global warming, the melting of the ice caps, to believe this. Well, finally, they are, some of them, believing, because this film we had shows it's real. The president says it's real. So there's people out here in high positions that are finally believing that, yes, this is actually taking place. Yes. And one of them even said it's caused by human behavior. So they're getting closer and closer all the time to believing what Yahweh said. And the cause. Did you get that? He says, the great whore who corrupted the earth with her fornication. This is sin, with her sins that she has brought forth and taught. What are they teaching in the churches today? Are they teaching you not to sin? Heavens, no. There's no money in being righteous. There's no money in righteousness. Righteousness stops spending. It stops wasteful spending. And they know it. Sin brings this right here. Prescription drugs. We don't sell condoms in the house of Yahweh. We sell righteousness. Righteousness stops sickness. It stops STDs. And it stops death caused from prescription drugs. I didn't know I was so protected until I found out that people were going to doctors. You know, and some of them spend 50 to 60% of their income on doctors, and then the last thing before they die, they spend it all. The doctors and hospitals. If you've ever paid a hospital bill, you know, a 30-minute or hour stay in a hospital, and you get that, and you better be sitting down when you get it, or you may go to the hospital yourself with a heart attack. Earth and her fornication, and Yahweh has judged it correctly and has avenged. That's not right. That word there is not avenged. He doesn't take vengeance on anyone. He's letting them do their thing, and he tells you in advance what this is going to bring to you. And then, of course, if you had any sense, you would believe the prophets. But even when the people, when it comes upon them, they still don't believe it. Oh, no, pork didn't cause that. No, I've eaten pork all my life. Never been sick a day in my life. Well, what are you spending all this money on doctors for? Oh, never thought of that. Man, I would have had time for this article. Okay, I will. This is a great place for it. Consumer Reports sounds alarm on pork. The prisons, I don't know if you, the great Kohan Stefania Owens, he brought out about the prisons shutting down because of an outbreak, the norovirus infection cause of prison visit cancellations in Texas. The norovirus. I don't know why they named it Nora, I guess as an insult, but norovirus. Recently, numerous criminal justice faculties across the state of Texas have been affected by a stomach flu-like illness believed to be Nora or Norwalk, N-O-R-W-A-L-K. Let's see if they tell. They probably don't tell you here, but this comes from poison. Norovirus food poisoning has affected 26 prison faculties around the state of Texas, with approximately 1,600 people repeatedly ill. Okay, here's another thing that came from this very thing. Consumer Reports sounds alarm on pork safety. Consumer Reports is sounding the alarm over the safety of pork. A new study shows that chops, that is pork chops, ground pork, may be full of bad bacteria. A whole host of foodborne illness is caused by these bacteria, such as stomach aches, vomiting, diarrhea, high fevers, and of course, death. But Consumer Reports, an independent nonprofit organization that provides ratings and product comparisons, says bacteria are not the only thing pork eaters should be concerned about. For years, pork has been promoted as the industry for health food options. The other white meat, they call it. You know, chicken, somebody said, well, we don't eat anything that can't swim and can't fly. And this was some people that were saying, you know, they were eating healthy, so they only ate fish and chicken. Well, now they come out with the other white meat. And this other white meat, of course, is pork. It's got the color of death. If you look at the horse, one of the horses that is described in Revelations that has the color of death, you will see what pork chops look like when you take them from the grocery store. But the new reports suggest that it is not healthy. Yavarsha Rangan, Consumer Reports doctor of consumer safety and sustainability, said, "We found potentially harmful bacteria on most of the samples of pork that we tested. One organism we looked at, Enterococcus, is more a measure of filth. It's more a measure of filth. Indication, maybe fecal contamination." Well, of course, before I stopped eating in restaurants, I went to one day, and I rushed in to wash my hands after I got the meal and set it on the table. And while I was in there, I saw a man come out of the stall with the cook's uniform on. He didn't bother to wash his hands or anything. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So when he walked out, I pushed the door open. He went straight into the food where it was being prepared and started to work. I asked to see a manager. And I told him what took place, and he kind of smiled and said, "Well, you know, we've had that report quite often, so I understand what you're talking about." I got up and laid my napkin on the table and walked out. I've never eaten at another one. Of nearly 200 pork samples tested, you go to the grocery store and get this stuff now. You know, and think about this as we're seeing what is taking place here and building a righteous DNA and following Yahweh, trusting in Yahweh. Yahweh himself says in Leviticus 11, don't eat this stuff, don't consume the blood, don't get it on you, don't touch it. If anything touches it, you need to break it or burn it, get rid of it. And here they're smearing it all over everything in the food counters. But we go in there and say, "Oh, well, no, I'm not going to eat that unclean pork. Give me some of this steak here. It's right there at the side of it." Well, how much sense does that make? Well, how long does it take to get a person from there to here? You know, we've been years on this journey right now. Think of it. And we've finally gotten to the point to where we can actually see we don't have to be told this. We know it already, that this stuff is unclean. It's poison to us. Don't touch it. It screws up your brain to where you can't even think. The toxicologists tell us that. They know this. Why aren't they sounding the alarm more and trying to pass a law against it? They haven't got sense enough. Their brain is confused. And they say, but the pork industry, look at the billions of dollars it brings in. Oh, I never thought about that. Well, that should make it healthy to eat, surely. Of nearly 200 pork samples tested by Consumer Reports, many tested positive for salmonella, listeria, staph bacteria. This is the killer. These are the killers, and they found them in the hospitals too. Staphylococcus, the drug-resistant bacteria that will murder you easily and does. But you go to the hospital and get a prescription drug. All of those that don't die from eating the pork get a prescription drug, and we even wipe off another. It says, guess what kills one person every 19 minutes? Prescription drugs. As if the pork wasn't bad enough. This magazine says a whooping 69% contain Yersinia. That's almost a joke, isn't it? Yersinia. Well, of course, this was a man's name, but get the word sin in the middle of it. You're sinning. It's what spell, if you want to look it up and study it a little bit, it's Yersinia, Yersinia, which infects nearly 100,000 Americans a year, every year. Children are especially vulnerable to it. If you study it, you'll find out that this bacteria, it's almost like it's related to every bacteria, every virus. It can just combine with all of them, and they will carry this bacteria, the other viruses, and other even clean ones. It can hang on to them and mix in with them. It is so versatile that it can just be carried by anything and everything, even human beings, and taken in touch with somebody else, and that's another transport for it. But you'll find this, and you'll find out why it's so bad when this thing gets started. Well, they say right now, they make the statement, if I can find it here, that it's on its way. Yersinia, which infects 100,000 people every year. Even more, 90%, even more, 90% of the bacteria Consumer Report found were said to be resistant to antibiotics. In other words, they were superbugs being sent to you from the meat counter. A Consumer Report was alarmed by traces of another one called rectothiamine in 1/5 of pork they tested. Farmers used the drug on their hogs to produce leaner cuts of meat, but it never was approved. Never was approved. There's also one. There was also one found. Oh, they said, be sure and cook this real fine the next time you eat pork. Really, cook it really, really well, and wash your hands. Great solution, huh? Yersinia. Yersinia pertis. It's P-E-T-P-E-S-T-I-S. Is the causative agent of the plague. That's a bubonic plague. Rodents are the natural reservoirs for it. Other mammals serve as host also. Infection may occur either through the blood. Yes, there's life in the blood. Remember that? The scripture says that. It took us years to get that over to the scientists, and now they're saying the same thing, that the life is actually in the blood. And of course, they still don't kosher their animals. They go ahead and feed you the blood. It's in the blood. Food products such as pork that's unclean, they find it on the vegetables. Now. That you buy in the supermarket. So the people are carrying this stuff, people that are gathering the food, eating pork, they're carrying this Yersinia into or leaving it on the vegetables, milk-derived products. Now, they're having a lot of trouble with milk, and they're trying to get the people to go to organic milk. Well, of course, like I said, there was no education in it, so it's hurt a lot of dairy men, and they're having to shut their dairies down now because they signed a contract with to follow these rules of feeding everything organic. Well, that's a little bit hard to do if you're not prepared for it. So they thought they were prepared for it. Once they read all the fine print and had charges filed against them, and of course they are filing charges and they're suing them for breaking their contracts. Well, this is putting them out of business, of course. But it's coming in the milk products, it says, too. Let me find my place here again. Milk-derived products and meat contaminated with infected urine or feces. Man. Yersinia bacteria has the ability to not only survive with actively proliferate Yersinia bacteria has the ability to not only survive, but actively proliferate at temperatures, that is, multiply at temperatures as low as 1 to 4 degrees Celsius. That's about 30 degrees or 31 degrees, I believe. I think one is 31 degrees Fahrenheit on cut salads and other food products in a refrigerator. Well, that's how dangerous it is. Now, remember this. I don't know if it changed the taste or not, but Yersinia bacteria is relatively quickly inactivated by oxidizing agents such as hydrogen peroxide. And it is the causative agent of plague. Now, you should be familiar with that word plague now, because we've been bringing this out in Revelations 18, come out from among her, my people. Well, of course, that's a few words in a small sentence, but it's a lot of work to come out from among her. And of course, this is what we're doing. Well, now we're facing a world of war, and we are going to change them, and it's going to be done rather rapidly because, first of all, we've already got the message taught. The second thing we've got to do, and it's spreading right now, is the peaceful solution. You got to show them the solution. You got to educate the people. To keep the farmers from going broke, you better educate them in changing from non-organic to organic. And if you don't, they're going to go broke, and then you'll be filing charges against them for not obeying the scriptures. Well, this is what we've got to do. This is our assignment. And of course, we're going to do it. Yahweh says we're going to do it. We're going to perform this. Actually, Yahweh is doing it. He's inspiring it. If it wasn't for Yahweh, we could do nothing. You know, there's no way we could do this on our own. So he's got to inspire minds, open doors, which he is doing right now. And many people, brethren, you don't know it, but they're worshiping in secret. Yes, many of them. They're worshiping Yahweh in secret. They won't let anyone know it yet. But one day soon, all of this is going to come out. But first off, it's going to have to be proven. And of course, the nuclear bombs, the nuclear wars are going to start very soon now. Just as soon as Yahweh gets things set up like he wants them, then he will let this take place. After that, what is left is going to come to you then for guidance and understanding to finish the job that Yahweh said and shows in Revelations 19, 1 through 4. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!